Good afternoon. Thank you all for coming. In my first campaign in 1974, in that primary, the election theme was "The people will decide." They decided that year, and they've decided again this year. We must always remember, and I have always kept it foremost in my mind, that this is the people's seat in this greatest deliberative body in the world, the U.S. House of Representatives. It's been an extraordinary honor and privilege to serve the disparate interests, the many different regions of this extraordinary congressional district, and the wonderful people, those who support you and those who, with dignity and respect, take an opposite view. And I've always, after the previous 18 elections, said thank you. I say thank you again for the privilege of serving you, the people of the 8th District, which I love and whom I love. I thank my precious wife, Jean. We both experienced loss and found each other and created a new and special life together. I'm especially grateful to Jackie Morris, who started with me in February of 1974. Just for a couple of months, Jackie, come help me out as we go through the precinct caucus process and the county unit conventions. Her brother Bob said, Jackie doesn't have much to do. She's between jobs, and she'll take it on. And it's been 36 years, unwavering, unflinching, of dedicated service, again, to the people of this great district. To Bill Richard, my chief of staff, and the late Tom Regan, who was my first administrative assistant, who was a brilliant, effervescent, creative mind, opened opportunities and showed the way to serve the people better every time. To all those who, and Bill Richard now, who succeeded him and who has been imaginative, industrious, worked extremely hard, a quintessential economic developer, pursued every lead for every community, for every business person. He and all of my staff are treasures, special treasures. I see Gary Cerkvenik standing in the back of the room, who started early in his career on our staff and who worked to the last yesterday. And Mayor Don Ness, who was started as campaign manager and did brilliant service, and with whom I have very special memories, some humorous, some almost fateful, but we survived. And to so many others who are gathered with me here, but today especially Brian Yunus, our campaign manager for this campaign, who's taking it way more seriously. He worked himself to the bone. Blake Chafee, associate campaign manager, to Joe Ellickson, to John Schottel, who worked himself into a hospital bed just about. He got bronchitis and some other things, an ear infection, and everybody worked themselves to the fringe and to the... But in the end, unlike in the business world where the profits go down and the sales go down and the CEO says, well, it was sales or it was marketing or it was engineering. In this arena, you look into the mirror and say, it was me. But there is nothing I would take back. Harry Truman was once asked, it's in his oral biography, well, would you have done that differently, Mr. President? He said, it's done. I can't change it. And I can't change and wouldn't change any of the votes I cast this year to bring us out of this worst recession, to chart a course for the future, to lay a foundation for a better America, for better quality of life, better quality of health care, to rein in the financial institutions, to give everybody an equal opportunity at a better quality of life. I wouldn't change any one of those votes. I wouldn't change any of the votes that I cast to bring forward the stimulus, because the bridge at Interstate 35 at North Branch will be there long after I leave office and long after any successor. It's a 100-year bridge. And the bridge at County Road 17 over I-35, just a little south toward Wyoming, that will be there long afterward. Lives are saved in Chisago County for the improvements that I brought at a citizens committee request. The lake walk in Duluth will survive long after my service. People will be walking and biking and enjoying a better quality of life and bringing families together and bringing travel and tourism to Duluth. The new airport terminal under construction, I'll come back to see it completed. But it will serve this Northland long after my service. The Voyageurs National Park, the new Customs and Border Patrol facility at International Falls, the improvements on Highway 61 up the North Shore, the tunnels that were canceled and then brought back because I said, either you do that or we cut off all the funding for the State Highway Department. Len Levine can tell you that story. And the improvements that are being made now, both on Highway 169, to make it safer, to improve travel and tourism, and the Gitche-Gami Trail that is working its way toward conclusion, that we'll now, with the improvements, with the funding that was announced just in the last week of the campaign for the extension of the Sunrise Prairie Trail from North Branch through Pine County, Carlton County, will link eventually Canada and the Twin Cities with a continuous bicycling facility that will be the envy of the nation, and in many ways still is. We'll continue to rebuild Wadena after the tornado, and a new rail line and a new rail link and realignment of Highway 10.
You're listening to outgoing 8th District Congressman Jim Obestar meeting with reporters in his office in Duluth. This after losing yesterday's congressional election to Republican Chip Kravac.
Last year had 650,000 users as an engine of economic growth and stability. But there are also the very personal memories. People often ask, what's the bill that you're most proud of? What do you feel the greatest about? It was my second term in Congress. We had approved a cost of living adjustment for federal government retirees. And shortly after that bill was signed into law by President Ford, no, that was my first term, that's right, second year, first term, I got a letter from a constituent in Two Harbors who said, I saw that Congress passed an increase in cost of living for federal retirees. I'm a federal retiree, but I didn't get one. I was a lighthouse keeper. And I searched the record and found that there were 174 retirees of the U.S. Lighthouse Service, which in 1939 was merged into the U.S. Coast Guard. But their retirement plan was kept separate. So we needed, Congress needed to enact separate legislation to provide those lighthouse keeper retirees with their justifiably earned and deserved cost of living adjustment. So I introduced the bill. I was on the Coast Guard subcommittee at the time, and we had no trouble moving the bill through subcommittee, full committee, through the House, through the Senate, even though the Office of Management and Budget said it's going to cost $1 million. Well, it cost many millions more for all the other retirees. And I was a little concerned President Ford might veto it, but he signed it. And so I sent the slip bill, as we call it, with my signature on it and the date of enactment by the president to the constituent in Two Harbors. And a few days later, received a letter that said, my husband was so grateful to get your letter and to know that this bill passed, and that he would soon be receiving a cost of living adjustment. But he died yesterday. But he died knowing that government could work for even only one person. If I can leave that legacy, if time will come back and look on those individual acts of personal relevance, I will be satisfied with my service. There is much more of which I am proud, much more of which I am grateful to have had the opportunity to accomplish, but I go in peace of mind and heart, but with sadness. I've loved the opportunity to serve the people of this district.
Outgoing 8th District Democratic Congressman Jim Oberstar, who lost yesterday's election to Republican Jim Kravac. Oberstar has served, represented the 8th District since 1974. He was meeting with reporters at his office in Duluth, apparently will not be taking any questions from reporters. Let's check back. You may be fielding some questions here.
You believe so strongly he's done so much good. Are you at all bitter that it was those two votes that were ultimately used to unseat you?
I knew at the outset of this Congress and of this presidency that this was to be a transformational time. And I told my entire staff at our annual conference to expect a tumultuous year, that there were going to be challenging issues, transformational issues, and then we had to stand up, that I had to stand up for the right thing. And I knew that in the health care vote lay the seeds of wide dissension and disruption. But it's been a constant for my first campaign. I was home yesterday and rummaging through some things of my mother's that she had kept in a drawer, and found a 1986 campaign brochure that we had produced. Healthcare for everyone. I said it in 74. I've said it in every year since then. And this was the year. This was the we failed in 1994 to enact health care reforms that President Clinton proposed. Didn't even get it to a vote in the House. This was our opportunity to bring it to a vote. And I've told the staff many times. I've said it in public arenas. 1948, the Steelworkers Union, which my father was a founder, had card number one in 1937 on the iron ore mining country. In 1948, in their contract talks, they laid out a proposal for company-paid and employee-paid health insurance and retirement. And the National Labor Relations Board, on petition of U.S. Steel, ruled that these are inappropriate subjects for contract negotiations. Harry Truman won the election. And in 1949, replaced the chairman of the National Labor Relations Board. The steelworkers, in anticipation of their next contract talk, petitioned the board for reconsideration. And the board ruled that health insurance and retirement are extensions of pay and therefore appropriate subjects of contract negotiations. In 1952, steelworkers went on strike for 150 days to prevail in their quest for health insurance and retirement pay. And I wish my father had lived to see the day that we cast that vote and we passed this legislation to make sure that no one can be denied access because of a previous existing condition, such as pregnancy or cancer, that you cannot lose the health insurance while you have it. They can't take it away from you, as happened to Rebecca Woods it's the Scarry family whose son needed a liver transplant at birth. And after a certain point, they reached their maximum. And the insurance company said, "You're terminated. No more." That can't happen in the future. You can't have an annual cap, can't have a lifetime cap. They can't take it away from you. Your child can be kept on your health insurance until age 26. I was at the airport yesterday waiting Gene's arrival, and a person also waiting for a passenger came over to me and said, "I just got my notice in the mail that our son can stay on our health insurance until age 26. I do not regret ever that vote. Ever. Pardon me?
Any one factor that unseated you this year?
No, there's no one factor. No one factor. I'll have to look more closely at the voter turnout, but clearly in St. Louis County it was down at least 20,000 votes. And had we had the turnout that we normally have, the outcome likely would have been different. We can't say that. We don't know for sure, but I think the numbers clearly indicate it would have been a different outcome. But as Harry Truman said, I can't change that.
Do you think
you were too confident? Oh, no. Our campaign contacted 190,000 households in the course of this campaign. We had a phone bank operation. We had a ground operation. We had a house-to-house contact. We sorted down through that 190,000 to a universe of 50,000. Called the undecideds. We sorted out who were likely historically Democratic voters, and called them repeatedly 3-4 times to turn out and vote, and then ID'd the undecideds. And toward the last of the campaign, they were falling 2.5 and 3-1 in my favor.
You're listening to outgoing 8th District Congressman Jim Oberstar, the dean of the Minnesota Congressional Delegation, served in Congress since 1974. He was defeated in yesterday's election. He's in meeting with reporters in his Duluth office reflecting on his career and yesterday's election.
Compassion over these years. How can you do it even though you're not sitting in that office?
There are opportunities for public service. I've seen them. I've seen my colleagues who leave voluntarily or at the will of the people, go on to do other things, and I have not explored any opportunity. I had no reason to do so. But there will be opportunities, and I will look for something. I will reflect for a while and look for something in the public arena.
Okay, thank you very much.
Congressman Jim Obestar meeting with the reporters in Duluth on the day after his stunning election defeat. Republican Chip Cravath defeated Obestar yesterday in one of the biggest...